Okay, good morning, everybody. The topic of my presentation is about the phosphorus distribution and use efficiency in tomato production on a calcareous soil in Florida. Nationally, Florida ranked first in the fresh market tomato production, and most of the production area located in the south. Sorry. Did it show up? Most of the production area located in the south of Florida. And in tomato production, the phosphorus nutrient plays a critical role in the plant and fruit development. However, overapplication of phosphorus fertilizer that exceeds crop demand can cause eutrophication. So the phosphorus fertilization is an important part of the best management practice program in Florida. Our location, our study was located in the South Florida in Miami-Dade County, where the phosphorus management is essential for protection of the nearby Everglades National Park. In Miami-Dade County, all the tomatoes are growing on a calcareous soil. Typically, this type of soil has a high pH and a very high calcium carbonate content, and the phosphorus is easily fixed by the calcium carbonate through the surface adsorption and precipitation. The surface layer of this type of soil is only 20 centimeters. Below that is a porous limestone bedrock. And this type of soil usually have a very gravelly texture. The phosphorus rates need to be optimized on this calcareous soil. When the excessive phosphorus is applied on this type of soil, the phosphorus is usually leached due to the preferential flow pathway and the very shallow water table. But until now, the phosphorus fertilizer recommendation is not available on this type of soil. To make the recommendation, we need to know the crop demand, the crop requirement. The phosphorus is usually absorbed by the roots from the soil and then allocated to the stem, leaf, and fruit. So the findings of where and how much phosphorus is accumulated in the whole plant can contribute to the phosphorus recommendation. Therefore, the objective of this study was to determine the phosphorus uptake and partitioning in tomato production on the calcareous soil with different phosphorus application rates. Also, we determined the soil phosphorus budget and the phosphorus use efficiency. This study was conducted in the Tropical Research and Education Center. One field that has never been farmed for 10 years was selected for the field trial. The tomato season, the tomato were growing in the winter season of 2015. The treatments were arranged in a randomized, completely blocked design with four replications. Each plot was 9 meters long and included three beds. There were six phosphorus application rates as treatment. All the phosphorus were pre-plant applied as using dry fertilizer, triple superphosphate. The nitrogen and potassium were supplied consistently for all the treatment. So all the rates in this table were selected based on the recommendation for another type of soil, acidic sandy soil in Florida, also from a previous port study. The data collection included plant biomass, tissue phosphorus concentration, the tomato yield, the phosphorus content in the soil, and also in the leachate. One whole plant from each plot was selected at 95 days after transplanting. The leaves, stems, roots, and fruits were separated to determine the dry weight biomass and tissue phosphorus concentration. Tomato fruits were harvested at the mature green stage by three times and graded in the field. The soil sample was collected at 82 days and extracted by MEDX3 to determine the soil available phosphorus. The leachate sample we picked four reads of the six to determine the phosphorus leaching loss. The leachate sample was collected by lysimeters and analyzed for the dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration. So the phosphorus uptake was the result of multiplying the biomass by the tissue phosphorus concentration. The leached dissolved reactive phosphorus load was calculated from multiplying the dissolved reactive phosphorus concentration by the leached volume. The phosphorus budget was the difference between input and output. The input was the phosphorus application rates. The output included the plant uptake and also the leaching loss. We used two types of use efficiency here. The first one was the apparent recovery efficiency, which indicated the proportion of the applied phosphorus fertilizer that was absorbed by the plants. The TPUF here was the total uptake with fertilization. The TPU zero was the total uptake without any fertilization. Another use efficiency is the partial factor productivity, which was calculated from dividing the total seedling marketable yield by the phosphorus application rates. Here is a method for the statistical analysis. All the data were first subjected to ANOVA. When the response was significant, we used four models to do the regression analysis. Next part is the results. Firstly, the total phosphorus uptake were not significantly affected by the phosphorus application rates and averaged 12 kilograms per hectare. The non-significant difference here could be due to the very high pre-plant soil phosphorus content. For the partitioning of total uptake, a higher or similar percentage was partitioned to leaves comparing with fruits. But the results from the other year's trial in 2014, results that showed the highest proportion was accumulated in the fruits. The different results here, I think, could be due to the very high rainfall accumulation in 2015 that affected the fruit development. The statistical analysis showed only the ratio of stem to total phosphorus uptake was significantly affected. The other three, proportion to the leaf, roots, and fruit, were not. So all the results from this table suggested the phosphorus application rates did not affect neither the total uptake nor the partitioning of the total uptake to the fruits. Next results is about phosphorus budget. Firstly, a positive linear response was predicted for the response of the leaching phosphorus loss. And positive phosphorus budget were observed except the treatment without any phosphorus addition. The positive budget means the net gain of phosphorus, which could increase the soil phosphorus content. Our results approved this point. Comparing with the initial value, the soil extractable phosphorus content at 82 days was significantly higher. Also, the soil available phosphorus content increased linearly with increasing phosphorus rates. So the results here indicated that the build-up of soil phosphorus by fertilizer addition over crop demand could result in greater phosphorus leaching loss below the root zone. The final results is about the phosphorus use efficiency. Firstly, we see the yield here. The response of the yield at the first and second combined harvest could be predicted by a linear plateau model with optimum rates at 56 kilograms per hectare. But the total season harvest yield were unaffected. Due to that, the partial factor productivity decreased with increasing phosphorus rate. The rate 49 kilograms per hectare resulted in the highest apparent recovery efficiency, 6.9% here. This number was lower than the previous reported value 10 to 20%. The low recovery efficiency here could be attributed to the high pre-plant soil phosphorus content and also the high fixing effect of the calcareous soil. So combine all the results, we can assume that the phosphorus rate 56 could be the optimal rate to support plant growth, maintain crop yield, and meanwhile minimize the environmental impact of the phosphorus leaching loss. So that's my presentation. Thanks for your time. Any questions? Thank you.